Hello, and welcome to episode 130 of Speak Beastie for February 14th, 2021. I'm Helene.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Rex.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. I don't know why, because I never have anyone to spend it with, but I'm excited to have a treat myself day, I guess.
I don't know. So, I'm going to be recovering from my second COVID vaccine dose that day, so that's how I'm spending the day.
Absolutely no one feels bad for you, because we're all just extremely jealous that you'll have both doses.
I'm a healthcare worker. What can I say?
Oh, so jealous.
Imagine getting a vaccine.
Right? Imagine being able to go places again.
It'd be crazy. The last Valentine's Day that fell on a Sunday was 5 years ago during our first year.
Really?
Fun fact.
Well, it was the first Valentine's Day after we launched.
That's so cool.
I know.
It's like full circle, coming full circle around.
Yep.
Man. Well, should we jump into the Phoenix Register?
Let's do it.
And now a message from our sponsors. Hey you, yes you, the magical cats and dolls waving your wands like bean shooters in a caper. Looking to be on the up and up about Newt Scamander, famous zoologist and world traveler? No need for gossip at the juice joint, just tune your ears to Speak Beastie. And now for as little as one dragon dollar a month, you can make Speak Beastie the Neasles Meow. Support the show at patreon.com and suddenly you're the big cheese, the real McCoy, with exclusive access to swell sneak peeks, bloopers, and behind the scenes features. But wait, there's more. Sponsors can also beat their gums at the joint with access to the Speak Beastie Common Room on Facebook. Now you're really on the clean sweep, flyboy. Get a wiggle on to patreon.com/speakbeastie to learn more about becoming a sponsor today. It's the Billy Wigs knees and how.
We actually have some news today. Well, first of all, I'm sure everybody saw the big rumor that like HBO is making a Harry Potter series. Which, we're not a Harry Potter podcast, technically, but I thought I'd bring it up, that this is just a rumor. HBO and WB both said it's not true, although sometimes studios lie.
Well, it's bound to happen at some point, it be a Harry Potter show,
well, the rumor show. The rumor got so big that even the author made a blog post on her website to tell people it wasn't happening.
She did?
She did.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I happened upon it on Twitter. I was like, oh, I didn't know this was a thing.
I think it's not happening. I don't think it's like in production in any way.
No.
I do think that someday they'll reboot Harry Potter,
eventually.
Like a TV executive get hired to like the Wizarding World franchise or something like that.
Yeah.
That's what like spouted this.
Yeah. Yeah, they hired a known TV exec to head up the entirety of the future of the Harry Potter franchise with Warner Brothers. He's in charge of making new projects and furthering the franchise. So it's not a big leap that people were like, oh, he's known for you know, creating TV shows and they want him to expand the Harry Potter universe.
But a television show is bound to happen. With
something
someday of the Wizarding World, that be it.
Yeah.
A remake this of rumor Harry was Potter definitely or another story.
This rumor was definitely like they're going to remake Harry Potter, and it was like they wouldn't do that so soon. Well, I say they wouldn't do that so soon, but like the Spider-Man movies.
It's been 20 years. Like,
wow. I think they still
think they
wait.
Would
I think they
Harry
do
Potter
something
now.
Else. Yeah.
Like, I could see it come like 10 plus more years, but it's just still so new.
Yeah, I think they would do another TV show in the world.
The Founders or the Marauders.
Yeah.
be happy with both of those, as I'm sure most people would.
So then, a kind of little piece of news. We found out Richard Coyle has joined the cast of, well, not really joined, because filming is almost complete. He is in Fantastic Beasts 3.
He is of Sabrina fame. Yes, he plays Blackwood? Yes.
I don't know. No, it is Faustus.
I was confused because Blackwood and Blackwell. I was just watching something that has the word Blackwell in it, but I know I'm pretty sure he's Blackwood.
Yeah, it's Father Blackwood.
He's gonna be in it. We don't know literally anything about who he's gonna be, but he said that this is the reason that he has grown like beard and mustache.
Okay.
Handlebar mustache. I had to double check the type of mustache that he stated.
I mean, he's pretty awesome in Sabrina, so I'm excited.
That's good.
Do we know his nationality?
No, but I could find out in a quick Google search.
Yeah, do it.
He is English.
Oh, that's okay. Boring.
Yes, he's from Sheffield, United Kingdom.
That place, yeah.
His kid's name is Purdy.
Aww.
Like spelled like P-U-R-D-Y?
Yes.
That's so funny.
Sorry, that's all the fun British facts that I have on Richard Coyle. Sorry about that. That's all I got.
Well, speaking of filming, they were supposed to wrap filming a few days ago. They were supposed to wrap filming on like the 5th, but unfortunately, someone on the set got COVID. Tested positive for COVID. So filming shut down 2 days before they were supposed to wrap. So hopefully, they didn't say like who got it. Hopefully whoever got it is okay and that other people don't get it.
I believe it was an extra.
Yeah.
Well, they're stopping filming for 2 weeks. So I don't it, like come up.
Yeah.
The end of the month. Theoretically, yeah, the film should finally be done filming.
I know that there was, I think on a couple of other podcasts I've heard, and like I've heard people saying that it was a main cast member that got it, and I don't believe that's true. So
WB said like it's an irreplaceable cast member. Oh. And MuggleNet confirmed with somebody that it is like an extra.
Yeah.
But you know, maybe an extra who needs to appear again. But also like, even if there's someone who didn't need to be on the set again, like, they could have infected other people, so.
Exactly.
Well, I don't think WB is going to speak down upon extras because they need them for the film. They're still vital, though they really don't do anything.
All human life is irreplaceable.
Exactly. Yeah. So
I wonder if it's that German Muggle 23 guy.
Oh, yeah, the one dude that's, like, actually credited on IMDb.
Yeah, that would suck.
Oh, man, poor dude.
What's his name? German dude, 23.
How dare they?
Really rooting for him.
How dare they try to film without him? You can't do the movie without him, so.
Well, speaking of taking a pause in your production, This is kind of sad news. Not that Fantastic Beasts 3 halting filming isn't sad at all. But so Speak Beastie, after a lot of thought and consideration, we've decided to take an extended hiatus after the release of this episode. And we'll be returning to your feeds soon as more news starts to come in about Fantastic Beasts 3. We hope, as we are sure that all of the listeners do, that this break will end sooner rather than later, with the imminent release of more information regarding the third movie. Until then, we're going to continue to release regular content for our patrons on Patreon. So we encourage everyone who is craving Fantastic Beasts content to support us on Patreon until we can come back full-time. And follow us on all our social media for updates, and just in general, because our social media is all so cool. So yeah, we're not going away forever, absolutely not. If big news drops about Fantastic Beasts 3, or Fantastic Beasts in general, we'll be there. And then closer to the film's release, we're gonna start releasing more regularly. But yeah, until then, we'll be on a Patreon. But we have prepared a special episode that doesn't have to do with us going on hiatus, but it's still a special episode, and we hope that you guys enjoy it.
All right, so on to the main discussion.
Yes.
Yay.
Yeah.
So we have prepared for you guys a very special main discussion because this episode is releasing on Valentine's Day. We decided to kind of focus on all of the couples and pairings in the Fantastic Beasts series that we've seen so far. And we're going to kind of theorize on how we think they got together, how we think they got to where they are currently in the series, and where we think they might end up. So happy Valentine's Day, and I'm excited to talk about this. What about you guys?
I'm excited to talk about it just because I think out of the ones that we have in the doc, only one is confirmed.
Yeah. Only one is Endgame, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Some of the other ones definitely aren't Endgame.
Yes. There are ones we know don't happen, but we can always talk about, you know, what we think their relationship was like when it started or how we think it started in the first place and things like that. So the first one on my list is the ever-popular, ever-famous New Tina.
They're the couple that ends up together, if you didn't know,
listeners.
Sorry for the spoiler.
It is confirmed in Harry Potter canon, Wizarding World, Fantastic Beasts canon, that Newt and Tina do marry and have children.
Yep.
So we don't have to really...
grandson marries Luna Lovegood.
Exactly. Yeah, so we don't have to really, like, theorize about if they're going to end up together, but I am really curious as to what you guys, like, how do you guys think the proposal went down? Like, who proposed to who?
I think how did just it happen? Because of the time Newt did it, just because the whole woman proposing is becoming, like, more mainstream now than it did 100 years ago.
I just see Tina as really the type of person to, like, take the step in the relationship.
I could really see Newt spending a whole movie nervously trying to propose and, like, you know, like, rescue us down under.
You know exactly what it makes me think of when you just said? Ring. It just, like, it made me think of Kristoff in all of Frozen 2.
Yes, okay. And he's got a ring, and then, like, the Niffler steals the ring.
Exactly.
Oh, the Niffler's going to steal the ring. 100%. Oh, totally.
And then Tina is just like, Newt, let's get married. And he's like, oh, thank God.
Yes. I do think that is most likely how it would happen. But I do think that Newt would, like, if he was going to plan a proposal, it would totally have something to do with the Fantastic Beasts. Like, he would, I don't know, maybe have Zolu,
salamanders,
like, show
come
up
out of fire because she has salamander eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He would definitely use some sort of beast to propose to her. I don't, do we know what, like, Tina's favorite beast is?
Salamanders.
I don't think she has a favorite.
Beasts, yeah. Okay, salamanders are just animals.
They're beasts. They are in Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Yes, there are magical salamanders and real salamanders. Yeah, I don't know if she has, like, a favorite beast, but she's probably... she's learning more about
beasts. What's her wand core?
It's one of the weird ones because it was made in America, so they have different wand cores than, like, Ollivander.
Its wood core and length are unknown.
Really?
According to the Harry Potter wiki, I just googled and that was the first thing that come up.
I totally thought we knew that for some reason.
I did too.
Let's see if the wiki says anything. I doubt it does. Oh, all we know is that it's hefty.
What does that even mean?
Made from resin.
Hefty is just like weighty, like heavy.
Yeah.
That is just a weird word for a wand.
Kind of is. How heavy can a wand be? Well, when do you guys think that they will, like, get together in the movies? Because we are getting, like, they got pretty close in the last one.
They
to kissing.
Did. Well, I think that, okay, I hope they kiss in the next movie. Just, like, kiss.
It's gonna be book, like, end of movie 4, beginning of movie 5.
Are they gonna, like, pull a Rachel Ross where they take, like, two full seasons of a TV show to actually get to the relationship, because...
But they were on a break.
That was later in the show.
I could see them, like, kissing at the end of the next movie, and then, like, they're not really together in the fourth movie, like, because they live in different countries, and it's a, like, what are we... And then at the end of the fourth movie, they're like, all right, we're together now. And then the fifth movie is Newt trying to propose.
Oh, my gosh.
While also a world war is going on.
Kissing in the third movie. I see, like,
no, what's going to happen? What's going to happen is they're going to kiss, but that, like, in the third movie, but then Lita's going to come back. And they're not going to be together. Yeah, and they're not going to be together in the fourth movie because, like, Tina thinks that Newt is still in love with Lita or whatever.
But Lita's,
and that's
going to
be a whole thing.
I hope not.
Well, maybe when Lita comes back, she's like, I made a mistake. I was supposed to be with you, Newt, the whole time. I love you.
I hope Lita comes back, but I hope that then doesn't happen.
Well, we know he doesn't end up with Lita. Like, it's not endgame.
Yeah,
so
it would
either
just
way.
Be annoying. If anything, it's more annoying because I know he ends up with Tila, and it's like, all
right. Right.
It is very interesting watching a movie where it's like, you really do know they're going to end up together. Like, you know, most movie love stories, you're kind of like going in, you're like, all right, these are the two that are going to get together.
Well, that was me with all of Dawson's Creek, and then I was completely just, they did the opposite. So yeah,
I mean, TV shows will mix it up a little bit more because they go on forever.
True.
But I mean, yeah, generally you're like, okay, I think these two are gonna get together, but this one it's like, no, we know they do.
True.
So, and I kind of appreciate that the movie's like all right, you know they're gonna end up together, or if you're a more average person, maybe you don't, but we're gonna still make you work for it. We're still gonna draw it out a bit.
Yeah, I can,
like,
see that.
It's, you know, kind of annoying because you're like, just kiss. But it's also like, okay, like, they're going to keep it kind of a realistic relationship. Not just going to kiss after knowing each other for 2 days.
True that.
But they're great and I love them.
Same. I can't wait to see how they decide to move forward with that. I'm really excited. Yeah. But one that I think is probably going to be the most interesting to theorize about is Queenie and Jacob. Mm-hmm. Jaqueenie, as they are sometimes referred to. Because we literally have no idea.
Before.
You've never seen that? Like J-A-C-Q?
I've seen that.
Yeah, that's a thing. Jaqueenie. Queecub is kind of weird. I don't know what else you'd call it.
And you can't really use, like, Goldstein because Tina is also Goldstein, so
true.
You can't do the last names.
That is true. But we literally have no idea if they're going to end up together.
I think they're going to drift apart just because Queenie is right now, after Crimes of Grindelwald, on Grindelwald's side. But then towards the end of the film series, they get back together.
I could
kind of
see
like
that.
Blair and Chuck from Gossip Girl.
I could see them kind of at the end. Maybe we don't even see them, like, you know, get married or anything. But we kind of see them being like, you know what, we're gonna try this again.
Yeah, that's how I
do you
see
think
it
that,
alluded to in movie 5.
Do you think that either of them would date other people, like, while they're broken up because of, you know, like, would Queenie end up having, like, a fling with Grindelwald or something?
Maybe.
No, ew.
Get it, Queenie.
No.
Who says
I mean,
it's
they
Grindelwald?
Could go have
Maybe
other relationships, but Grindelwald, weird. No.
Well, I mean, that's the only one I could really see, because,
well,
like,
maybe
who would, like,
Queenie's going to get with whoever Richard Coyle is playing.
Ooh.
Maybe. Are we just assuming because apparently he grew a handlebar mustache for this role that he's going to be evil?
Yeah.
I
probably.
Only
or
said
he'll
his
work
name
for the ministry.
Because he just got cast and was announced on this episode. That was my rationale for my decision.
Who knows? Maybe maybe Jacob will date Richard Coyle's character. We don't know.
Maybe.
Ooh,
who knows?
I'm into that. No, I'm fine if they both date other people. Yeah, it is weird because it's like I want them to end up together, but I just don't know like how they're going to make that work in the movies.
I don't know.
See, this is an interesting one because I watched the first movie and it was like, all right, so they're going to get together, right. Obviously. And now
and
it's
then
like
crimes happened and you're like, oh.
Okay, so they did get together.
Yeah.
But
I don't know, like, I can't really decide whether or not I want them to end up together until I see how Queenie exactly, like, I don't navigates being on Grindelwald's side, because, like, right now she's choosing racism. She's choosing,
she believes
you know,
that Grindelwald is going to make the world a better place for Queenie and Jacob, because since Queenie is American, they're not allowed relationships.
Her logic makes no sense.
So she's just distraught. She was stuck in France where everyone's thinking French things. So she's just hearing French. So she's just being like, I don't speak French. Je ne parle français.
And that drove her to racism.
She drank the Kool-Aid.
I think maybe the bigger problem is that she mind controlled Jacob.
Yeah, that is
like,
definitely a red flag.
Racism is like,
but
I think it would be pretty easy for her to leave Grindelwald and be like, you know what, I learned my lesson, and like she doesn't hurt anybody or whatever. And it's like, okay, let's try to be in a relationship again. She's gonna have to do something really good to make up for mind control.
Yeah, that was intensely bad.
She wasn't. That was not a good decision on her part, but Queenie didn't know what to do because she knew after the first film that she really liked Jacob and Jacob really liked her.
I'm sorry, are you making excuses for, like, taking away consent?
Consent is always key. How she did that. Like, I was like, she just doesn't know what to do, and I'm just explaining her thought process.
I still don't think it excuses it, though.
But
I get her thought process.
Like, it's her thought process.
That it's a big hurdle.
I'm just
like,
thinking out loud.
Yeah. I mean, I think Jacob took it pretty fine.
Surprisingly. Yeah.
But, like, for me to be okay with them being together at the end, like, she's going to have to do some work. But we'll see. We've got 3 more movies.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
Right now, where things stand right now, I kind of think that Jacob probably would be better without her. But of course, we don't know how things are going to shake out.
There's going to be a character arc if they do end up together. Just because Queenie's eventually going to, like, come back to the other side.
Yeah. We hope. We don't know for sure.
And we hope that she comes back to the other side not by, you know, dying.
Yeah, I mean, there's all this, like,
because that's a very possible
plot. Have you guys ever seen,
I've learned the error of my ways, and now I will sacrifice myself.
Have you guys seen there's, like, a theory, I think the Super Carlin brothers did this, a theory that Queenie is Snape's grandmother?
Whoa.
Like,
I heard that, yeah.
And
I don't believe it.
I don't believe it, but, like, maybe she doesn't come back to the good side and she stays, you know, in the line of Death Eaters. I don't know.
There was,
she's not a Death Eater because it's Grindelwald and not Voldemort.
Well, Snape becomes a Death Eater, so.
So that doesn't mean Queenie is
His grandmother might have been a Death Eater. I don't know. Voldemort's around around this time.
He's like, what? Like, 1 or 2 years old now?
Yeah, she's gonna follow the evil baby.
Pretty sure he was just born.
Oh, just, like, holding like holding him up movie. Like Simba?
Yeah, she's gonna follow. She'll be the very first Death Eater ever.
Okay, well, there was, and I don't think this necessarily means anything, but back when there was that whole, like, Quidditch World Cup thing on Pottermore, one of the players
was named Kowalski.
Quentin Kowalski.
Oh, you're talking about Goblet of Fire.
Oh, really? Ooh. I didn't know that.
I'm like pretty sure Kowalski is mentioned in Goblet of Fire.
I don't think so. I think it was just in the Pottermore
thing. Oh, okay. I think you said Quidditch World Cup, and that's why I thought a Goblet of Fire.
I mean, yeah.
I'm going to see if any Kowalski is mentioned on the lexicon really quick, other than Jacob.
Now, this was before Fantastic Beasts, the film. I don't know, like, how much before, or how much before production or whatever. So I don't necessarily think that J.K. Rowling went, in this Pottermore extra, I'm going to write Quentin Kowalski as a hint to the child, grandchild, whatever, yeah, of these two characters that I haven't written yet.
Oh, it wasn't a Pottermore article. He was part of the U.S. team for the Quidditch World Cup at 2014, and I thought Goblet of Fire because of Quidditch World Cup.
So, I mean, I think it's possible that they get together and they have some kids, and eventually there's an ancestor named Quentin Kowalski. That would be a fun little connection.
Or Jacob just gets together with someone else. We don't know.
Well, it's the Q, though. But, fine.
Quentin Queenie. Oh!
It seems very connected. But it's true, if he doesn't end up with Queenie, it could just be a different descendant. Or he names
his kid after the girl he used to love. I don't know. I mean, that would probably piss his wife off.
I think it would be Jacob's grandson, because it's the Quidditch World Cup in 2014.
Yeah, I think it would be grandson, or maybe great-grandson.
It does, it doesn't say...
It would not be Jacob's son, because that would make him old.
He doesn't have any, like, listed parents on the lexicon. But it says he was born after 1976. So, I mean, you know, makes sense. So.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, I mean, it's a possible connection.
So cool.
I guess, like, I mean, well, I guess Jacob wouldn't be naming this kid. But also, like, why would you name your kid Quentin if you didn't have, like, a grandmother named Queenie?
Maybe his parents really like the name Quentin.
Maybe they had a friend named Quentin who died in the second Wizarding War.
Like, I was like, maybe. I got my name solely because it's a masculine name.
Yeah,
it was between Rex or Duke.
Wow.
There's no familial, like, rationale for my name.
I mean, yeah. But, like, Quentin is a weird name. I'm just saying.
So is Rex.
A weird name.
Yeah, but... Quentin is a weirdo.
So next, let's move on to the next one is a pairing that we all know somehow, like somewhat know that it happens, but we know it's not Endgame.
Well, does it happens or did it happen?
It happened in the past.
Yeah, but you kind of talked about it like in the present future.
Well, I said we all know that it happened.
Oh, okay.
But we know that it's not Endgame because, anyway, I should probably say what it is because the listener's like, what is it?
Let's just not mention their names while we talk about them.
It is Dumbledore, and you're just talking over me when I'm trying to say it, Rexifer.
Man, I wish your name was Rexifer.
I haven't been called that since high school.
That is a weird name. I'll give you that, Rexifer.
All right, we were talking about Dumbledore and Grindelwald.
Now, to be fair, they're not Endgame, but also, like, do they date anyone else? Maybe it's kind of like their Endgame
in their hearts, you know? Well, I think Grindelwald got close to Dumbledore for power.
Yeah, I don't know if Grindelwald, so that's one of my questions on here, is because I don't know if he ever actually had feelings for Dumbledore, or if he was just manipulating him the whole time, but...
I feel like even J.K. Rowling... can't be consistent on this point.
So, well,
just one of her many flaws.
Just because they had this relationship thing doesn't mean Grindelwald's gay.
But I think she said he is.
Is he?
I don't know. See, that's what I'm saying. I feel like I've gotten conflicting reports. Is Grindelwald gay?
I'm looking up him
up
in general.
CNN article, guys.
There's a CNN article. What are they talking about? The sexuality of Bennett
Grindelwald. International news. Grindelwald gay?
Oh my goodness. Let's see.
I could see Grindelwald maybe being gay or bi, and he doesn't really have feelings for Dumbledore, and is like, I'm just going to manipulate this guy. But also in that way where you're like, but maybe I kind of have feelings for him, but I care more about the manipulation.
Well, Grindelwald just wants power, so if he has to sleep with Dumbledore, he'll do it.
Yeah, I mean, you think about, like, just abusive relationships, people, you know, I can't say whether or not an abuser has feelings for the person they're abusing, but the feelings aren't what matters, basically, I guess.
I mean, just because he did end up using Dumbledore, I don't think that has to mean that he never had feelings for Dumbledore in the first place.
Like, I don't know if he had feelings for him or not.
Because when he met Dumbledore, Dumbledore wasn't very powerful yet.
Dumbledore was 17, I believe.
Yeah, he had graduated. Minds. Yeah, he had just graduated. Dumbledore had just graduated Hogwarts.
But he had all of these awards from Hogwarts.
I think it was more like, this guy agrees with me on enough stuff that I can keep him, or he thought he could keep him, on his side.
He added Dumbledore to his five-year plan.
I had no idea. I'm reading the lexicon on Grindelwald right now. Did you guys, maybe I knew this and I forgot, but he was expelled from Durmstrang at 16. Mm-hmm. I did not remember that.
And that's why Crum in Deathly Hallows got very upset Zeno had the Deathly Hallow necklace, because at Durmstrang, the Deathly Hallows is like the dark mark.
Yeah, but he didn't have to be expelled for that to be true. He could have just attended Durmstrang.
Well, that's like Grindelwald's mark, so he got expelled for something. Not saying
it doesn't say what
school property.
Yeah, it doesn't say what, but it's probably something to do with practicing dark magic. Would make sense.
Something. Maybe the book might have said that it was just for dark magic in very general terms.
So yeah, during his stay in Godric's Hollow. Gellert became very close with then 18-year-old Albus Dumbledore and drew the latter into his plans for world domination. Together they theorized about wizard supremacy for the greater good of the world and how to find the three Deathly Hallows. However, their relationship lasted mere months. Grindelwald fled when Albus's unstable sister, Ariana was killed during a quarrel, and Dumbledore realized his folly. Now, it doesn't say, like, anything about their relationship.
Well, was that written before or after Dumbledore was gay? Like, that J.K. said he was gay.
I mean, lexicon is always updated, so.
Oh.
But it's like, that's still, she said he's gay after the last book came out, but it's like, but still the only real information we have about their relationship is from Deathly Hallows, where Rita Skeeter is writing, like, that they became friends because nobody knew that, you know,
there Dumbledore was like was in a very intimate second in, I believe, Crimes of Grindelwald when Dumbledore, like, looked into the mirror.
So Crimes of Grindelwald makes it a bit more explicit. But I mean, I know people read Deathly Hallows before she said anything and were like, oh, this is gay. So it's like, I don't know, it's hard to tell because we don't get any of it from Grindelwald's point of view, you know?
Yeah, that's going to be the HBO TV series, Grindelwald's point of view.
I'm
not usually into like villains' point of view. But I think I would be interested in Grindelwald's
point of view
from, like, their teen years.
Yeah. It's like the Maleficent of the Harry Potter worlds.
Yeah.
I'd be up for
it. When you think about it, like, we got to see some of teen Tom Riddle, you know?
Oh, yes.
Kind of got to see how this guy became Voldemort. We haven't really gotten a lot of that from Grindelwald.
I don't know why, because it's never, like, outright been said, but I'm fully convinced that Dumbledore was, like, full on in love with Grindelwald.
Yeah. No, I think so. Even if he never had a relationship with anyone else, I think he was like, well, that was it.
It was fun while it lasted.
Well, I also think maybe, like, Grindelwald probably completely annihilated Dumbledore's trust.
Yeah. You just think about, like, the trauma of basically this relationship being why your sister died.
Yeah, like, he probably can't trust anyone else to be in a relationship with anybody else, so, you know, sucks. But I am always going to wonder, I hope they do answer the question of whether or not Grindelwald actually had feelings for Dumbledore or if he was just using him. I hope that question is answered, because I want to know.
I still think Dumbledore and McGonagall dated. No. I think that's just because, like, 10-year-old
Rex thought
that.
So you think he's bi?
It's totally my, like...
She's too young for him.
So, sugar daddy.
Oh my goodness. No, I don't think... Okay, I think in
that case, then.
They're good friends. I don't think they would get along.
I think it's just, like, when I was first reading the series, I thought they, like, were secretly dating.
For sure.
And it's something that, like, headcanon...
No, I think it was Dumbledore and Flitwick. I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding, but I wanted to hear what you would say. Oh, goodness.
McGonagall Trelawney is where it's at.
McGonagall-ani?
Well, yes. There's fanfic of McGonagall and the giant squid.
Ew.
There's fanfic of everything.
No, thank you. I'll pass.
Anyway.
Next on the list is Leda and Theseus, which we know is canon, but we don't know how it started. We don't know, you know, she's dead at the end of Crimes of Grindelwald, but
she's not
is
dead.
It for real? Is she really dead? Like, is she going to come back? I mean...
No, the fire took her to Nurmengard, and she's, like, being held prisoner.
You say that so confidently that I was like, oh, okay.
Are you talking about, isn't Nurmengard, like... A Lord of the Rings thing?
No.
What is that? What, the,
are you talking about Mordor? That's
no. What's the thing with Orlando Bloom's character Legolas? It's like that rapper that people made taking the hobbits. Isengard, not Nurmengard. Okay. I definitely got that mixed up.
The Nurmengard is Grindelwald's prison.
Right.
It's like his like house turned into prison or something. And that's where he's... So the people that got burned by the fire...
Not to be confused with Nuremberg.
Like, are in the dungeons of Nurmengard.
Oh, goodness.
I think that's a possibility.
Because hashtag Leda lives.
I mean, I do believe she lives. I don't know if she's in Isengard or whatever, but...
Nuremberg?
It's Isengard now.
Yeah, it's Isengard now.
Oh, are we going to, like, see, like, little Frodo?
Taking Leda to Isengard. I don't know if she's there, but I do firmly believe she's not dead, because how can you get Zoe Kravitz and have her like play this amazing character and then just kill her off at the end of the first movie?
Ask the writers.
So she has to come back. So if she does come back, do we think that she'll end up with Theseus, or do we think that their marriage will just not happen?
You know, we didn't get a lot of her and Theseus, and yeah, we don't know, like, how they ended up together and stuff, but I really liked them. I feel like they had good chemistry in the very few scenes we saw them in.
The, like, 5 seconds we saw them together?
Yeah.
I just find it kind of creepy that she's dating him when she obviously used to have feelings for Newt.
Sometimes you just have to date your best friend's brother.
It happens in real life, unfortunately. But yeah, so I think if she came back, I would like to think that they would, you know, get back together. He obviously loves her very much.
Yeah, I think it's kind of one-sided,
did Leda
honestly.
Say, I love you too.
I think she said it to both of them. Whether she meant it romantically to both of them or platonically to one of them, romantically to the other, I feel like she was just kind of like, I love both these boys and I gotta say it.
Maybe. I kind of
think
she
was saying it to
Newt. And they
were like, could you have made that more clear?
Can we have some clarification, please?
She was like, nope, I'm dead now.
Nope, gotta go up in flames. See you later. Convenient.
What a way to celebrate Valentine's Day.
I think she was saying it to Newt personally. I don't know. I feel like she kind of she settled for Theseus when she couldn't have Newt. That's my guess.
But I don't know, because I feel like, why couldn't she have Newt, you know?
Maybe she just realized it wouldn't work. I mean...
Because he seems... It doesn't seem... It seems kind of like she broke up with Newt, you know what I mean?
Maybe.
Like, whether they were ever together or not, it kind of seems like he's more weird around her now than she is around him.
I think that's like, just Newt being awkward.
Yeah, Newt being Newt.
But, like, she's very much kind of like, hey, we can still hang out. And he's kind of like, no. And it's like, what happened here?
Yeah, maybe she broke his heart, which is why he's not as comfortable being around her. Yeah, that's the
mood I get more. And especially, like, that he, you know, when he thinks about her and Queenie notices the picture, like, Queenie's like, she was a taker, you need a giver. Like, that sounds like, oh, she broke your heart. I can still sense feelings from you.
Yeah.
But that wasn't good for you. Like, Newt still hasn't gotten over it.
Yeah. I wonder. Yeah. I hope he's over it now that he's, like, pursuing something with Tina, but.
It seems more like the second movie. I got the vibes of, like, okay, I'm not into you anymore, but this is awkward to, like, talk to you. Like, it's all cool.
Yeah. I wonder, like, how she made the transition from Newt to Theseus. Like,
yeah.
Did she break up with Newt for Theseus? And maybe that's why Newt is all heartbroken? Or did her and Newt kind of end things? I don't even know if they ever actually dated. That's another question I have. Like, did they ever actually date, or was it, like, unrequited love or something? But, like, did she take a couple years to get over Newt, and then, you know, maybe her and Theseus reunited at the ministry when they both started working there?
That's kind of how I see it, I guess. I kind of, like, I didn't consciously think about it before, but I guess I kind of thought that he, you know, got expelled from Hogwarts. I don't know if we know what year that happened, but, like, if he got expelled for her, I guess that's the heartbreak that happened. And then, you know, she kept going to school. They wouldn't have really seen each other or been around each other for a little bit, maybe a couple of years. And then, I feel like maybe they drifted apart. And then she went on to work at the ministry. And then she coincidentally met Theseus. And it was like, oh, you're Newt's brother. That's funny.
Well, I kind of assumed that Newt and Theseus went to Hogwarts at the same time, and that maybe she already knew who Theseus was.
That's true. I guess Theseus, well, how much older is he supposed to be?
That's a great question.
You're going to look that up?
Cause yep.
I think we know.
Well, and,
But still, what if they've been at Hogwarts at the same time, like,
would be he in? That I don't think no we know sense. His house.
Let's see. He was. Wait, come on.
But even if they were at Hogwarts at the same time, I feel like even just, like, 3 years older, it would be weird for, like, Leta and Theseus to, like, be into each other while at school, being that age difference. But then once they're adults, it's like, now it doesn't matter, you know?
Yeah.
But she definitely could have met him, yes.
So Theseus was born in 1888, and Newt was born in 1897.
So no.
So, no, 9 years apart.
Yeah, that's a big difference. That's a lot bigger than I thought it was.
Yeah. I mean, I remember talking about that the actor is younger than Eddie, and that's kind of weird.
Yeah, it is. Like, he doesn't look that much older. Yeah, they look much
closer in age.
Yeah, they look very close in age. I guess technically he was born between 1888 and 1889. So, I mean, it doesn't make a difference. But, yeah, I don't think that we know anything about his time at Hogwarts or what house he was in.
He is going to play a prominent role in that thing.
Although here, I don't know how much I believe the wiki, but it says, Theseus is a well-meaning, hardworking, noble and responsible man in true Hufflepuff fashion, not allowing his status as a war hero to make him arrogant or conceited, and is seemingly attempting to act as a good role model to his younger brother, Newt. So I guess it's assuming that he's in Hufflepuff as well as his brother?
I don't know what house I picture Theseus in, mainly just because he's a war hero. I'm thinking Gryffindor only because bravery. Yeah,
thinking Gryffindor too.
He could also be loyal, which is Hufflepuff. So I would pick one of those two houses.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and the wiki does say that Theseus and Leta, we don't know what kind of relationship they had during their younger years, if any, but they would eventually get better acquainted when they both worked at the Ministry of Magic. So that kind of answers that, if if we take this to be true at all.
Yeah, that I could see that being said in like some, you know,
yeah,
behind the scenes book that we haven't all read or remember. Yeah, I think that seems the most plausible thing, that like they may have met as kids but got together as adults after she and Newt and whatever they had was kind of long over. I don't know. Do you guys think that Lita and Newt dated?
I no, don't think so.
I think
me neither.
It was a like Newt had a crush on Lita, but Lita didn't.
You think so?
I think she had feelings for him, but I just don't think they ever did anything about it.
I think maybe he had stronger feelings.
Maybe.
But I think definitely, either way, it's one of those things where, like, you know, they could both kind of tell, like, we could date.
Mm-hmm.
But then they didn't because neither one took the initiative. Or she was like, I don't really like you that much. I just like you as a friend. Maybe he even said something and she was like, no. And that's why he was like, okay, goodbye forever.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I feel like it's so complicated and it's so convoluted and not and vague what we know right now that it's so hard to even.
And I really don't know what we'll find out, you know?
Yeah. No clue at all. If I don't even know if we'll learn anything else about her, because for all we know, she might just really be dead and never come back.
Which would suck. I feel like if she's really dead, then we're not going to learn anything else about her.
But then how is the Lestrange line going to continue?
Corvus.
There are other Lestrange lines. It's not just from their father.
Yeah, like, I don't believe Corvus is actually dead.
But, I mean, it doesn't have to just be from Corvus. Like, her, you know, Corvus's dad could have brothers.
I thought that cousins. They were the last of this.
I thought it was just Lita and Corvus.
Okay, maybe.
And that's why everyone's confused, because Lita, like, is supposedly dead.
Well, so, on the wiki, there's three family trees. There's the Rodolphus bloodline, which leads to Rodolphus, who marries Bellatrix. There's the Corvus bloodline and the Cyril bloodline. And we don't know how these bloodlines are connected.
Yeah.
We don't know.
But that.
Yeah.
Rodolphus and Robaston are born to a Lestrange who was supposedly born in 1926. So.
Which is like when the movies were taking place.
Yeah. Who is born to F. Lestrange and R. Lestrange, who are born to Rodolphus Lestrange, the OG.
Was this ever, so this is on the lexicon and I don't remember it ever being like confirmed, but it says that Lita took an experiment a bit too far and endangered the lives of other students and Newt took the blame and that's why he was expelled from Hogwarts.
Yeah, yeah.
I knew that it was like, but I didn't know it was an experiment that she took too far.
Yeah, I don't remember hearing experiment before, but that seems right.
I wonder what it was.
We may never know.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wonder if we'll ever find out.
That was such a big thing we discussed before both movies. And then it was like, well, who knows?
Man.
I guess.
What are we going
to
say?
Hold on, I'm trying to read. Okay, so one of these bloodlines does go from another bloodline. But where does the Rodolphus bloodline come from? I don't know. Family trees are so difficult. I don't know.
Could be I'm reading related. These. So there's like these notes from different interviews where David Yates at one point said, Lita comes in the second movie. She's quite complicated and damaged and confused. And Newt is absolutely still in love with her. So he has kind of she has kind of a power over him. And she, is kind of a tragic figure. So we'll see a bit more of her in the second movie. And then Zoe Kravitz said in an interview, the relationship between Lita and Newt is a complex relationship, so I think there will be a lot of time for that to grow and develop, which will be fun. That did not grow and or develop because you died. That makes me sad. Why didn't it grow and develop more?
So, Rodolphus Lestrange's father appears in the Half-Blood Prince flashbacks at Hogwarts as a friend of Tom Riddle.
Rodolphus Lestrange?
Rodolphus Lestrange is who marries Bellatrix, and that's where Bellatrix gets the name.
Okay. But we don't know if Rodolphus is, like, is Rodolphus related to Corvus?
He is the child of this Lestrange who was born in the 1920s.
And that's all we know.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, sounds about right.
So, but even if Corvus was still alive, Corvus would not be using the name Lestrange.
Why not? Oh, I guess
because baby he switch.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's not dead.
No, but he doesn't know if he is still alive. He doesn't know that he is Corvus Lestrange.
Yeah, baby switch. Yeah, I forgot about the baby switch. Yeah.
Well,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Or if he figured it out, that's too complicated. Nope, 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 nope. We're not going there.
Anyway, Lena and Theseus, am I right? Weird.
Yeah,
I kind of
totally
forgot we were talking about them just because we got on this Lestrange.
Can I make a side note, though? Because they are a very attractive couple. They would make very pretty babies.
They would. They should stay together.
Yeah, just for that. I want to see their pretty babies. Are there any other pairings that I forgot that you guys can think of that we should discuss?
I don't think so.
What about Abernathy and his tongue?
Ew.
What about Grindelwald and Armando?
I was literally just thinking that as you said it.
Bring up Armando.
It's like, oh wait, him and the Chupacabra.
My Fantastic Beasts OTP is us and the listeners. Am I right?
Us and the friends we found along the way.
Aww.
You guys are my Valentines. The listeners, not you two.
Oh, okay. Rude. Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I definitely shipped Queenie and Jacob a lot in the first movie.
Mm-hmm, and then the second movie happened.
And now it's like, I just don't know.
So now I think I'm more of a new Tina person than I was before.
I'm always all aboard for new Tina.
Well, yeah.
Nice to ship a couple that you know end up together.
Exactly. It's easy. Whew. You don't have to worry, you know? It's easy to just know that your couple's going to end up together. So
yeah. Is this privilege?
Is this what it feels like?
As a white person, I wouldn't know.
I know, right? Just kidding. All right, so that's the main discussion. On to our next segment. So, Rex, you want to tell us what we're going to be doing?
Ooh, yeah, we're going to be opening that newt case. And since this episode's airing on Valentine's Day, I thought just kind of diving into Vila's would be kind of on the theme since they kind of entice men. So in the books, in the Harry Potter books, Vila is spelled V-E-E-L-A. In the English copies, I don't know about international copies. But when I was doing research, directed me to Vila spelled V-I-L-A, and that's just a Slavic fairy nymph thing that does follow what the author of the books said. They're all female, they're all really pretty with long blonde hair. So pretty much the author just kind of changed the spelling a little bit. And is just like, you know what? Here you go. With the Vila in Slavic folklore, which is Eastern European, there are three types. So you have like forest Vila, water Vila, and like air Vila, similar to how you have like wood nymphs, water nymphs, and like wind nymphs.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially they look similar but different, depending on the area that they live. So if a forest a forest Vila looks more tree-like than a water Vila would, just because of where they live.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And These are very friendly creatures, but if you insult or wrong them, they will take revenge, just kind of like in Goblet of Fire when Ireland scores or something, the Vila get very angry at them. So just kind of that parallel definitely sticks to it. And just the author of the books pretty much just like changed the spelling of it. I thought it was going to be more juicy, but
yeah,
like
it's still interesting.
It's still really interesting that because the main difference is just the spelling, but other than that,
I mean, the spelling in the books is much more obvious about how it's pronounced.
Well, because I think if it was spelled like V-I-L-A, I would have pronounced it as Villa.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Like, ah, villas.
Villas.
Chilling with the villa.
So it wasn't as exciting as I thought it was going to be, but it was just kind of cool just to dive a little bit deeper into what villas are and just kind of the background on those. I think I also just got this because of listening to another podcast about Goblet of Fire that I was like, ooh, this is something on my mind right now.
I feel like, yeah, and I feel like we, just as a Harry Potter fandom, don't talk about villas a lot because they really aren't, like, plot relevant, but they are very interesting creatures to exist in the world, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we really only talk about them in two contexts. One, the Quidditch World Cup, and to Flora and her family.
Yeah.
And it's not really in a good way when we talk about Flora and her family. So.
And I just kind of thinking of Fleur, since she is French, I was like, oh, okay. Like, trying to figure out how she could become part Vila, just since they are a Slavic beast. And that led me nowhere, just because France is nowhere near that. But it's something I thought of, but I couldn't make a connection to.
It's like her grandmother is a Vila, so I don't remember if we like met her grandmother briefly ever, but
I tried to make sense of it, but
I guess her grandmother could be Slavic, I don't know.
Oh, or just move. All the... Yeah, I just thought it was
Or just all pretty people are French. no matter where they live. Well, because this is a special episode, we're also going to do a time turner.
What?
Remember the old days when we would do both? And we'd record for a really long time, and we were like, we should stop doing both. And also, we're going to run out of content. But I figured for this episode, before a hiatus, let's go ahead and do both. And we had good ideas for both.
Yeah, I like it.
A few times should do it, love.
So, for Valentine's Day, we're going to talk about the Valentine's Day Massacre.
Yeah.
Nothing says love now, like this.
We did, 5 years ago, briefly touch on the Valentine's Day Massacre and Valentine's Day in the 1920s, but wanted to do a little bit more of a deep dive into it for this Valentine's Day, because we like murder.
Yes.
Or true crime, as the kids say. So, the Valentine's Day Massacre, I was like, I'm not gonna, like, get too much information or write too many notes. I have, like, 3 pages of notes. The Valentine's Day Massacre was on February 14th, 1929, at approximately 10:30 a.m., and it is when 7 men who were associated with the Irish gangster George Moran, a.k.a. Bugs, were shot to death in a garage on the north side of Chicago. And this is an unsolved case. All we really know is that they were killed while they were facing a wall. And they were killed by 4 gunmen. 2 of the guns used were Tommy guns, which I just noted because, like, Tommy guns, pretty classic gangster stuff. 2 of the gunmen were dressed as policemen, while 2 were in suits. And witnesses saw them leaving after the shots were fired. They saw the 2 policemen leading the other two guys out at gunpoint, which is presumably so that they didn't look too suspicious. They just looked like policemen arresting two guys. But people also saw them get out of the car altogether, so it was like, meh. So five of the victims were part of Moran's Northside gang. This was, and I'm not going to pronounce any of their names right, Albert Kachelik, a.k.a. James Clark, Adam Heyer, Albert Weinschank, Frank Gusenberg, Peter Gusenberg, and then the other two victims were not technically part of the gang, but they were Reinhard Schwimmer, who was an optician turned gambler and gang associate.
And John maybe May. Somewhat very distantly related to David Schwimmer, who plays maybe. Ross on Friends.
It all comes back. And then John May, who was the mechanic. So they were shot. 70 rounds were fired. They were very thoroughly shot, these men. Frank Gusenberg was still alive when the real police arrived, and he had sustained 14 bullet wounds. And he...
It just said, woof, that's a lot of bullet
wounds. Yeah. So he was taken to the hospital and stabilized long enough for the police to question him. When the police asked him who shot him, he replied, "No one shot me." Because that's how gangs be, I guess.
That's how they
you
are.
You don't snitch.
Yeah.
Snitches get stitches.
Yeah, he ended up dying within 3 hours.
That's a sad day.
Yeah. So Al Capone is widely considered to be behind the murders, but there's no real proof that he's behind the murders. It's just kind of people saying stuff. And he himself claimed to have been in Florida at the time of the murders. So the kind of thought is that this was all a setup by Capone to murder Moran, who was his enemy. And Moran was actually supposed to be at the garage, but he was running late. So very like, they were supposed to be on the Titanic. Moran was supposed to be at the garage and get killed, but he was running late, and he turned around when he saw the real police arriving at the garage. So the only kind of proof that maybe Capone was behind it is that in 1935, so this is 6 years later after the murders, Byron Bolton was arrested, and he was arrested after he was, like, in a shootout of the Barker gang, and he was an associate of the Egan's Rats gang, and he ended up telling the FBI that he and Fred Gates, I don't know if that's how that's pronounced, G-O-E-T-Z, Fred, and Fred Burke, the other Fred.
Fred and Fred.
And some others that they were the ones behind the murders of the Valentine's Day Massacre, and that they were ordered by Al Capone to pull this off and kill Moran. And Fred Burke had actually been a suspect really early on because witnesses described seeing a policeman before the murders who looked kind of like him, and he was known for dressing up as a policeman to commit robberies. So Burke had they'd kind of gone after Burke, but like couldn't prove anything. And in 1931, he had actually been captured, tried, and imprisoned for a different murder.
Oh, well.
That they knew he did. And so he was in prison for life by the time that Bolton said that he had participated in the murders. So Bolton says that he was like a lookout, and it was his job to identify Moran as the people went into the garage. And so he thought that he saw Moran and was like, "He's in, go kill him." But he was wrong. But also he says there was like a second car that no witnesses saw. So his story doesn't quite match any of the witness stories. So he says there were 4 shooters, 2 getaway drivers, plus him and another lookout. And according to him, Al Capone was very mad that he had mistaken someone else for Moran and they didn't kill Moran. But Fred, not Fred Burke, the other Fred, convinced Capone to not kill Bolton for his mistake.
I wonder how he did that.
I don't know. Be like, come on, man.
I feel like it's hard to. I feel like it would have been hard to, like, talk Al Capone out of killing someone he wanted to kill.
Yeah. Well, that's just one of the details about Bolton's story that it's like, oh, I don't know if this adds up, but also, like, why would you lie about this? So by this point, by the time Bolton kind of gave this confession, everyone that he named was either already dead or in prison, in Fred Burke's case. The only person who was still alive was Claude Maddox, and he said he was one of the shooters and, like, was a main guy in planning this whole thing. And Maddox at the time was the leader of the Citrus Cafe gang.
Oh my god, so many gangs.
Yeah,
I know. It's Chicago, what do you expect?
There were even more gang names.
You live in Chicago, like, are you in a gang?
You don't know that.
I know, like, I did. That was an gang. That was a, like, question. I said, you live in Chicago, are you in a gang?
I cannot disclose that information.
Okay.
That's what I thought. Chicagoan. So Maddox had actually kind of been flagged early on too, because on February 22nd, just a few days after the murders, a car was found burning in a garage near the Citrus Cafe of the Citrus Cafe gang.
Probably the getaway car.
Yes, and that's thought to be at least one of the getaway cars, because Bolton says there were two.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of like, oh, that seems like it could be connected to Maddox because it's, like, next to him.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is now 6 years later that Bolton's saying all this, and there's no proof of any of it. And the FBI was lazy. And they also just didn't have, like, as much jurisdiction and power as they do now. So they could have done more investigating, but it was kind of like they weren't supposed to, and also they just didn't want to. So they didn't do anything.
I wonder why the FBI would have had jurisdiction in this case instead of just the Chicago Police Department.
Well, so the only reason they had Bolton was because of a different thing.
Mm.
And so Bolton confessed to them, and they were kind of like, well, that's not our job.
Yeah, it's not their jurisdiction. That makes sense.
Yeah. And so they didn't even, like, tell anyone that he had made this confession until it somehow got out to a newspaper.
Oh, my gosh.
Who printed it. And the FBI was like,
ugh. Oh, I'm surprised. I'm looking. Sorry, I'm not going to ruin anything, but I'm surprised that Bolton wasn't murdered for that. So,
yeah. So of the people kind of left who didn't die or go to prison before this, Maddox remained outside of prison. And was the leader of the Citrus Cafe gang until he died of natural causes in 1958. And then Bolton, because he cooperated with the police regarding different crimes, he only served 3 years in prison. And then he moved to California and became a salesman.
Oh.
He died of natural causes in 1977. Wow. And he had a wife who, like, waited for him, and then he got out and he went back to her and they moved to California.
Wow.
That's nice.
Yeah, and then meanwhile, Al Capone, he got arrested, you know, a couple different times and was in prison for a few months, and then finally they got him stuck in prison for 8 years at Alcatraz due to tax evasion. That's all they could get him on. And he was sentenced to 11 years, but let out early for good behavior, and also kind of early on in his prison tenure, he started to develop neurosyphilis.
That's awful.
Which really affects, like, your function and your brain function.
Yeah.
So he was not really in good shape by the time he got out of prison, or really while he was in prison. And he ultimately died of a stroke in 1947. Last three guys left in this just died.
I gotta say, people. I'm very surprised that Bolton, since his, you know, he snitched on all these people.
He snitched on a lot of people.
Yeah, and then it went, got into a newspaper, so all the other gang members of, like, rival gangs could have seen it, and I'm surprised that no one murdered him.
But I guess most of the people he snitched on were already taken care of, so.
Yeah, that's a smart way to do it. If you're gonna snitch, you might as well snitch on people who are either dead or in prison, so that it doesn't matter.
Yeah. And so I think the crime that he ended up, like, going away for, it was like a kidnapping, and so he helped the police kind of get everybody else imprisoned who was involved in the kidnappings. But I didn't totally read about that, but
yeah.
So that was the Valentine's Day Massacre. Still technically an unsolved case. It seems like I think this group that Bolton said did it ended up being called the American Boys.
Mm.
So it's kind of like, okay, they probably did it on behalf of Capone, but so there was no proof.
This happened while Queenie and Tina were in, Paris on vacation for Crimes of Grindelwald. Back home in America, all this stuff was going down. So,
but this was in Chicago, and they're in New York. Those are two different cities.
Yeah, but I meant in America. They live in America.
But they're still different cities. It's like, oh, something's happening in Paris and something's happening in Lyon.
Well, to be fair, a lot of these gang guys moved around the country. I definitely read about one of them being in New York at some point. I mean, Al Capone was in Florida, which, like, typical, everybody's here.
All the weird people.
Yeah, they should leave.
I'm so glad to be out of Florida.
Well, must be nice.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not fun to be there right now with all this stuff it's going okay. on, COVID and all that stuff. We feel for you, Shannon. We feel for you.
Thank you.
So that was our episode. Our podcast question this week is, do you think that Jacob and Queenie will end up together at the end of the series? Are they endgame? Are they not? Let us know your thoughts. We'd love to hear from you, so drop us an owl on any of our social media outlets, or you can email us at speakbeastie@gmail.com. Also, leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to this podcast right now, because we love reviews and we want to hear what you have to say.
And you can contact us on Twitter and Instagram at speakbeastie, Facebook at facebook.com/speakbeastie, Tumblr at speakbeastiepodcast.tumblr.com, and you can support the show on Patreon at patreon.com/speakbeastie. You can sign up, and we send out cool stickers.
And we're going to be only really releasing content on Patreon for the foreseeable future. So if you want to hear from us at all until, Fantastic Beasts 3 trailers and stuff start to drop, then Patreon's where it's at.
Also social media.
Well, yes, we're going to be continuing on social media. But if you want content, podcast content, go check us out on Patreon for that. I'm Helene.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Rex. Case closed.